Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Aaron Barnett, your host. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant, the University of Washington College of the Environment, and KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And today we're speaking with George Harris, president of the Northwest Marine Trade Association, and Jay Jennings, the Northwest Marine Trade Association's vice president of government affairs. And hello, George. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Aaron. Hello. Great to be with you today.
Likewise. So let's start with you, George. Can you just give us a brief history and rundown of the Northwest Marine Trade Association, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. So the Northwest Marine Trade Association was founded in 1947. There were 13 businesses in kind of the UW area of the Ship Canal and Lake Union that came together. It was actually some legislation they didn't like that was coming out of Olympia that they came together. And then after they dealt with that, the next order of business was to create the International Seattle International Boat Show. And that became the first ever Seattle Boat Show. And I think a good number of folks out there, boaters and businesses, sometimes think the NMTA exists to just produce the Seattle Boat Show. This year is going to be our 75th anniversary of the Seattle Boat Show. But really, our mission statement reads that we want to grow boating. I like to kind of distill it down to those two words. And I like to say, I like to have a little bit of fun with our mission and say that I want folks to wake up in the morning and say, I want to use my boat. And then if someone says, well, gee, George, I don't own a boat. Well, and I'd say, well, I want you to wake up in the morning and say, I want to buy a boat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's our mission. We want to encourage people to get out and go boating. And, you know, that might be in a boat you own, or it might be on a friend's boat. That might be fishing. It might be sailing. Another Georgism is boating means something different to everybody. You know, when I moved to Washington from the Midwest, I was really into scuba diving, and that's how I enjoyed Puget Sound. And then a few years later, I rediscovered my sailing roots, and my wife and I cruised all over, you know, Puget Sound and the Gulf Islands for about 16 years. And then I discovered salmon fishing, and now I'm an addicted salmon angler. Anyway, so we're all at a kind of a different space. And then back to the boat show, really proud, just the scale of the Seattle Boat Show and the diversity of boats and marine services we have, which is a direct reflection of the diversity of boating we have here in Puget Sound. I've been to boat shows all over the country, Detroit, Houston, Miami, Salt Lake City, Los Angeles, and nobody has the diversity that we have here in the Northwest at that show, and such a robust recreational boating community here. So, so 75 years, and I started with the association in 1999. So this will be my 23rd Seattle Boat Show. My first 10 years or so, you could say I was the boat show director. And then in 2009, the NMTA board hired me to take over as NMTA president and CEO.
Oh, fantastic. So let's move to you, Jay. So now, Jay, you just started with the NMTA as a vice president of government affairs. Could you give us a little bit of your background and what you see or intend to accomplish with your new position, or what you can bring to it?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Aaron. And I grew up in Western New York and sailing on inland lakes every Sunday and Wednesday with Dad on the e-scow, I think, or sea-scow, depending on the evening. So I've had a lifelong passion for boating, and then I also knew what I wanted to do as a professional, and right out of college, spent some time in D.C. and was hired out here, based on my reputation in D.C., I was hired out here, and we came out kind of sight unseen into the Pacific Northwest to raise a family. And boy, what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity it is to live here, to boat here. And even today, we're getting to enjoy the sun here. So I've been in the government affairs arena, and I should back up. I worked for the legislature for quite a bit, which is a distinct advantage for advocates, because kind of get a lay of the land and how things roll down in Olympia, and building relationships for those 30 years as well. So when I heard this was possibility to join an MTA and meet George and see if I can convince him to hire me. And here we are on the fourth or fifth day, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Oh, that's great. Well, we look forward to talking to you some more down the road. So George, I wanted to, since we're hopefully coming out of this COVID pandemic, I'm really curious to get your take on that and how it's affected boat sales and your industry, and for better, for worse. You know, there's usually a silver lining in every cloud. So what has the last 2 years meant for your industry out here?
Well, you just used my favorite COVID expression, silver linings. So, you know, right from the get-go, COVID has been tough on all of us. You know, there's no doubt about it. Our families, our friends, our businesses, our colleagues, our businesses. So it's impacted all of us differently. That said, there's no doubt about it. So we're a trade association, you know, so any business or any activity that has anything to do with outdoor recreation has done quite well during COVID. And it's really encouraged or forced folks to sort of reexamine how they spend their time and their money. You know, like I said, our mission is to get people excited about getting outside and going boating and using their boats. And so that's what happened immediately when COVID came up in March of 2020. And so that's a silver lining for our members, right? But, you know, there's a great cost, you know, to our kids in school and things like that. And you think about the businesses that have struggled, you know, restaurants and tourism and things like that. But recreational boating is very popular right now. And, you know, one of the reasons I love Sea Grant, Aaron, you know, this is you guys helping us with that sales data. And we can, you know, monitor that in real time. And you guys have been working with us on that since 2004. And I appreciate it greatly. So nice plug here for Sea Grant while I'm on the phone or on the interview here. But anyway, Dr. Decker is, Kevin is waiting for our December sales data, hopefully to get that any day from him now. Year to date, I'm looking at the numbers right here on my spreadsheet, and we're up 12% year to date for 11 months of 2021. And we're right on par with the rest of the country. I don't want to say we're over-indexing compared to other states, but we're right on par with the rest of the country. And we've, you know, I like to say that, you know, the reason the Seattle Boat Show exists is that there's never quite been enough demand for boats. So we've always had to create that demand with the promotion of the Seattle Boat Show and other events we do. But COVID is sort of flipped that supply and demand equation. And in some respects now, there's more demand for boats and boating services than supply. So, you know, that's a kind of a new challenge for our member businesses. When I say our member businesses, I'm talking about, you know, the manufacturers, the dealers, the marinas, the boatyards, you know, the service providers, the whole ecosystem that makes up recreational boating. So, you know, they have all the same challenges, you know, keeping their employees healthy and safe, and all the supply chain issues that we hear about are impacting recreational boating businesses too. I had a outboard motor getting serviced a few weeks ago, and they were having trouble finding fuel filters because of the supply chain disruptions. So, you know, our job is to, again, promote boating and take a long-term view. And so we're expecting that, you know, at some point in the future, whether that's a year or 2 years or whatever, you know, things are going to kind of return back to normal when folks have a choice. And I always like to say it like this, you know, especially at the beginning of the year here, families or individuals have a kind of a conversation as a family, or at least in their head, you know, am I going to be a boating family this year? Am I going to be an angler? Am I going to be a snow skier? Am I going to be a backpacker? Or I'm going to be a European traveler? Or you know, there's a lot of folks out there competing for those, you know, those discretionary dollars. And, you know, that's what we're in it for the long term, is to make sure that folks wake up in the morning, as I said, and want to be boaters.
Right. I'm one of those people that ask ourselves that stuff every summer. I want to follow up on the boat sales information. Has there been a change in the type of boats that people are buying in size, material, function?
That's a great question. We have seen a shift over the last 10 years from fiberglass built boats here in Washington State to aluminum. That was something that was revealed to me by the Sea Grant data. It was really starting to change as we went into the Great Recession in 08 and 09. And, first of all, I think it's really important for folks to know that 95% of all registered boats in Washington State are on trailers. And it's when you're in Port Townsend, and if you go to any of our waterfront communities, Everett or Anacortes or Olympia, there's kind of this optical illusion about boats. You look out and you see all these big boats in the marina, and you think that's what the boating universe looks like, right? But really, 95% are on trailers. So that means they're in a driveway or in a garage someplace, and they're sort of unseen. So we have seen a shift from fiberglass to aluminum, and the lower end, more affordable boats, I think, is what we've seen increase here during COVID. So people that are interested in personal watercraft or pontoon boats, that's a really affordable, relatively easy way to get into boating versus, a sailboat, which requires some experience or some training, or more of a cruising boat. I think Northwest boating is a lot about the cruising, and that's, whether it's cruising the San Juans or the Gulf Islands or all the way to the, up the Inside Passage. That's a big part of what we do out here, but that's where I've seen the shift. Is the smaller boats, the trailerable boats, the personal watercraft, and then specifically the pontoon segment. They're so easy to use.
Yeah. This leads me into my next question, which is policy related. Jumping off of these smaller watercraft type boats like kayaks, stand-up paddleboards. So I understand there's some legislation in Olympia right now about personal flotation devices required to be worn by all boaters on all boats up. I forget if it's up to a certain size, but this might be a question for you, Jay, as well as George. What do you guys have a position on that, and where are they? Were they in the process?
I'll take a stab at that. There is a bill, and Recreational Boating Association of Washington and NMTA have been, working on this for some time, and this legislation does require a PFD to be worn on human powered vessels. Taking the whole chunk, we're gonna see how this works and hopefully increase safety. A lot of the accidents and tragedies, regretfully, are on the new rage and stand up paddle boards and a lot of kayakers. So, I think everybody wants to keep them safe and make sure that we're doing all we can while being kind of reasonable about the bigger boats and how we act those. The bill's, I think, House Bill 1107, and it's early in the session, only 5 days, but it is likely to move forward.
Great, thanks. If you're just joining us, we are talking with George Harris and Jay Jennings of the Northwest Marine Trade Association. We're talking about a plethora of issues and going over some sales data. Now, I have another question about policy. Is there any policy regulatory things coming down the pike that you guys are interested in or getting involved with or want to talk about that our leadership might want to hear?
Yeah, I think a really important one is something that the Department of Natural Resources has put forward, which is to take $7.5 million from the watercraft excise tax and put that towards removing derelict vessels from our public and private marinas. We think that's very important. Right now, boaters voluntarily tax themselves, something we've supported, for a derelict vessel fee. When you register your boat every June and renew your tabs for your boat, there's a small amount of money that goes into a derelict vessel account. It's not enough. And a lot of that money gets used for actually non-recreational vessels, you know, one commercial vessel or something like that, that gets abandoned at a marina or goes on the beach someplace. So the watercraft excise tax is actually the only motorized vehicle in the state that has an excise tax on it. It goes into the general fund. So we would like to have $7.5 million go to DNR so they can do a better job of removing the derelict vessels. And that's something also that the Recreational Boating Association of Washington is supporting. And I think there's a hearing on that next week, Jay, and we've got some of our...
That's right. We do have a couple of our members and to testify on that. And, you know, that $7.5 million per biennium, because it's a water excise tax, we'd like to have it all and create that nexus. But we're being realistic and starting with the hope of getting more. But 25% of it is what we're after. And Olympia has kind of quite a bit of money in the general fund. So we're very hopeful on that as well. And certainly there is a demand. Derelict vessels create all sorts of problems for all sorts of boaters and marine activities.
Right. Well, I know that, I come from a boating family here in Washington, and even as long as I can remember, as a kid in the 70s hearing my parents complain about the excise tax going into the general fund and not going to something more specifically related to boating. So maybe this will be a good fit to...
I think it's good precedent along with the money.
Yeah. Yeah. So if somebody wants to express their support or not support for that, is there any way they can get a hold of you, or who should they contact to
Absolutely. We'd encourage anybody interested to get involved. I am happy to give my number. Just call 360-789-7183, and I'll make sure you know when the bills are up for hearing, and we'll get you all arranged to testify. Thank you.
Well, sounds like somebody's calling you right now.
That's quick.
So George, I wanted to talk about your what I think is pretty monumental work with the governor's office on the Southern Resident Killer Whale Project. I'd love to hear about that, and I'm sure the people listening would love to hear about that as well.
Yeah, well, it was, first of all, a real honor to be asked to serve on that task force. I was there as a boating voice, boating advocate, boating representative. There was, I think, 42 of us on the task force. It was really kind of a who's who of leadership voices in the state or the region. You know, there were, you know, private entities, there were tribal representatives, there were nonprofits, there were government entities. And it was really a blast to work with so many great people shoulder to shoulder for 2 years. And I was also there as a sport fishing representative too. Sport fishing is really important to our members. 70% of boat owners say they use their boat for recreational fishing all or some of the time. So that's very important too.
Now, what sort of... changes came out of that task force that people should be aware of when they encounter these whales?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that happened was we increased the viewing distance for recreational boats and commercial whale watching boats, professional whale watching boats. And that was probably the most noticeable thing. The distance to the sides of the whales when you're viewing the SRKWs or directly behind or in front was increased. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things we weren't able to get done was sort of to synchronize the distance with the Canadian laws. So the Canadian regulations are a little different than the Washington state regulations. And something that I'm really proud of or believe in is education and something called the whale warning flag. So, you know, encouraging boaters to do the right thing when they're on the water. And when I was on the task force, you know, I have access to so many boaters and member businesses, and they were, you know, well aware that I was on the task force. But if you survey boat owners and say, why did you buy your boat, right? You know, the first reason is going to be something like, you know, exploring the outdoors. That's really the number one reason. People just want to be outdoors and, you know, being able to access our state parks, our coastal communities. And then the second reason might be, you know, sport fishing. I want to go crabbing. I want to go shrimping. I want to go salmon fishing. A third reason would be, so I said, community, natural resources, fishing, and then these communities in these state parks and that sort of thing. Not on the list is viewing southern resident killer whales. I call it a secondary or tertiary reason that people are out on the water. So, you know, for example, if you leave the Port of Everett and you're headed to Port Townsend and you're going past Point No Point, if you encounter some marine mammals, whether those are seals or killer whales, you know, southern resident or northern transient, fabulous. Slow down, follow the guidelines, maybe snap a couple of pictures with your camera, but keep moving. You know, you don't need to spend, you know, the afternoon with them. And frankly, you know, boaters are mindful of that outgoing tide, if you will, from Everett to Port Townsend. You've got a place to be. And so, you know, yes, you're going to have to alter your course, but it's a very secondary reason folks are on the water. Now, I know there's exceptions, you know, that, you know, I've been to Roche Harbor and, you know, on a July afternoon or something like that, word gets out that southern residents or, you know, some whales are near Kellett Bluff or something, you know, there's going to be some extra boats that come out. So, you know, doing the right thing, slowing down, following the guidelines. It was really fascinating on the task force to be part of the discussion or debate, if you will, about the science, you know, the noise of boats, because the problem isn't boats. The problem is loud boats, noisy boats. And, you know, so what we've got here is there's a small number of boaters that, you know, choose not to follow the guidelines or don't know about them. So let's not have regulations on all the boaters that are doing the right things. Let's try and address the few people that are operating too fast, too close, too loud in the presence of the whales. And I think that message came through loud and clear. And I'm really proud of our Seattle Boat Show advertising over the last 4 years. As Be Well Wise education has been a big part of it. You know, we include it in our TV and radio to increase awareness and that sort of thing. And I think as a person who spends a lot of time on the water, is you kind of have to be in the mindset that whales are in the area, they can be in the area, and you have to sort of be aware of it. So, you know, as you're, you know, crossing Rosario Strait, and if you see a group of boats moving slowly, they could very well be near or in the presence of whales. So maybe if somebody wasn't really thinking about, you know, the killer whales, they could think, oh, what's going on over there? I better go take a look. So, oh, it could mean whales. So therefore, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to alter my course. So it's just a different mindset that we need to educate boaters on.
Yeah, my experience is similar to what you're saying, that Washington boaters are pretty good about it. They know that seeing a whale is kind of a crapshoot. It's not something you can really plan. To see them, great. If not, that's fine too. That's not really why they're out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the more, you know, contentious subjects out there is, do the professional whale watching boats serve as a help or a hindrance to the SRKWs or the Northern Transients? And in the end, I believe the professional whale watching boats are a help. I think they are role models on the water for boaters like myself, and they know the regulations better than anybody, and they sort of set that perimeter of distance there. And they have, you know, biologists on board that are educating their guests and whatnot. So I think they're helpful to the situation. And then, you know, it was fun. There was three segments of the task force. There was one that focused on vessel noise, one that's focused on the environment, you know, toxics. And then the third one was prey abundance. And on the vessel disturbance, basically, how far away is a whale? And it, basically, if you can see the dorsal fin, you should be at a no wake speed, 6 knots. If you can see a dorsal fin, you should slow down. Yeah.
That's about 300 or 400 yards.
Yeah. And I, and so the law is at a half mile, which is basically if you can see the, there you go. Is that what you said, Aaron?
Well, 800 yards? 400 yards.
Okay. Half mile is 800 yards. So anyway, if you can see a dorsal fin, you should be going 7 knots.
So we got a few more minutes left. Is there anything that you guys want to say? I know you wanted to talk about, a study that's in Northwest Yachting on the Seattle boat, the boat show economics.
I think kudos to our friends at Northwest Yachting, longtime member of NMTA, but they did just a fabulous 8-page spread of the history, 75-year history of the Seattle Boat Show. So if you're a fan of the Seattle Boat Show or a jingle, the boat show, the big Seattle Boat Show, that was created in 1978 and we've been using it ever since. And that's a fun article to read. So I'd encourage folks to take a look at that. And then, yeah, coming out of the 2020 Seattle Boat Show, we did an economic impact study on the Seattle Boat Show, which I think is really kind of knock your socks off impressive. Yes, we're the Seattle Boat Show, but we have a national reach. We're considered one of the 5 largest boat shows in North America. We sold tickets in 2020 in all 50 states and 9 Canadian provinces. And we had a total economic impact in the state of about $350 million for that one Seattle Boat Show.
Wow. I know that it's a, I'm going to close with this, that I believe the recreational boating industry is a $4 billion industry. Is that?
Actually, that was an old number.
Oh.
The new number is $8
billion. Okay. Well, $8 billion. And I'd like to thank you guys for joining us. We've been with George Harris and Jay Jennings of the Northwest Marine Trade Association. And I'd like to thank you guys so much for being on the show. And this is Aaron Barnett, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education that support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Ku Ich for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. Thank you for listening and have a great day.